course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too shabby, you know, just living the dream. I know you're going to ask me, but the only thing horrifying I did this weekend was go to Indiana. So,
That is horrifying. That is
yes,
no
it
doubt. But at least you got there and back before the snow. That would have
True.
been even more horrifying. But again, this episode we are reviewing Nosferatu, which is out in theaters now. This is where we usually say, "What did we watch this week, Ike?" Since you did some traveling, I'm assuming you didn't watch much of anything.
Yep, did not watch much of anything. Like I said, I traveled literally on Friday. I drove to Indiana. On Saturday, I drove back to Florida. And then Sunday, I had to go grocery shopping. So I did nothing of fun. When I did have time to watch stuff, I've been rewatching Breaking Bad. So that's not exactly horror, but it's a good show.
Yeah, let's see. I did watch one thing. And it was that movie, The Front Room, that has Brandy in it.
Oh yeah.
And it is on Max. And we spoke about that when it was coming out. And we didn't review it or anything like that, but it was in the news and whatever else. But I did watch that because it's now streaming. And I have to say it was actually better than I thought. And now, don't get me wrong, it's not like it's a spectacular movie or anything else, but it's a solid little fun movie. But it really creeped me out and unnerved me to no end. All the things they did in this movie to be creepy and whatever else just hit on every nerve I have. So, I you know what it I would I'd advise people to give it a watch. Don't write it off. It's not like it's super scary or anything like that, but it is pretty creepy, and it is it's just a fun little watch. I would advise people to go give it a watch again. I believe it's on Max. I'm pretty sure that's what I watched it on. So, all right, short and sweet, but the opening, let's get right to our first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And we're back to the normal rotation, and this means we have cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you a cheesy slasher or a low budget movie or maybe a movie that you haven't heard of or whatever it might be that we advise you to watch. Now, this movie this week is not necessarily cheesy, but it's one that you may not know of. So that's where it's kind of slipping in here for us. And we're keeping with the vampire theme this week. And we present to you the movie Martin. Now, this movie was written and directed by George A. Romero. That's right, the zombie guy did a vampire movie. This was his I believe they said, I think I read it was his fifth movie, I think that he did. And he has always said, I guess this is one of his better movies that he really enjoyed. I've not seen it, so I can't vouch to it. It is available on Tubi. I did look it up, intended to watch it, just didn't get around to it. We'll be watching it in the near future. But the movie is starring John Aplis, Lincoln Mazzell, Kristen Forrest, and more. It was released in 1977. There was not a hard date on it because it only had a very limited release. Then didn't get released to home video, obviously, for several years later because, home video didn't really exist for several years later. But the movie is described as a young man who believes himself to be a vampire goes to live with his elderly and hostile cousin in a small Pennsylvania town where he tries to suppress his bloodlust. Now, a few fun facts about the movie. The original cut of the film ran nearly 2 hours and 45 minutes, and it has never been screened publicly. This cut was believed to be lost until recently. It was rediscovered by Kevin Kreese and the Living Dead Museum. So it does exist. There is a 2 hour and 45 minute cut. It's never been screened publicly. The Living Dead Museum has it, I'm assuming, from what I read. Now, I don't know if they ever screen it there at the museum. I'm not real familiar with the Living Dead Museum. Clearly, it's a Romero museum. I'm not super familiar with it, but they do have it, so it does exist. Romero did want the entire film to be black and white, but he lost that battle to the producers. So it's my understanding there are a few scenes in black and white. Again, I can't vouch for that. Not seen the movie yet, but I don't know what Romero's deal was with black and white. I don't know if he just thought it added to the creepy effect. I don't know, but this was the first collaboration between George Romero and Tom Savini. Obviously, the visual practical effects, master of all time. I think Savini is the man.
Right.
But this was the first collaboration between Romero and Savini, and they have collaborated on several things since. So there you go. So go check out Martin. Again, it's a kind of a film that maybe you're not familiar with. So I advise everybody to give it a watch. Again, it is available for free on Tubi with ads. So go give it a watch. So let's progress on to our next segment. Talk to us, Internet. And it is time for Talk to Us Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback or we pick up on something that is out there on social media that we want to talk about just briefly. And we're keeping it right on topic here because Bloody Disgusting selected Nosferatu as their best horror movie of 2024. Now, Ike, we're not going to get into the review yet because we got that coming up. So we're not going to talk about our opinions per se, and at least in a lot of detail. But now that we've seen the movie in retrospect, we did our review episode recently where we talked about our top five favorite movies of 2024. Now, I had already seen Nosferatu, and I had put it out there as an honorable mention. It did not crack my top five, and I'll talk about that later. But I guess this is primarily then for you. Would it have cracked your top five now that you've seen the movie?
Oh man, probably not. No, I take it back. No, it would not. It would not have cracked my top five. Like you said, without getting into too much detail, this is equally a problem of the movies that we watched this year that did make my top five. It is equally a problem of those movies just being super, super good, but all it is also equally a problem of, there were some things about Nosferatu that would have maybe not reached the level to which I would have preferred it be. And I, like I said, I won't get into it too much because there is a very specific issue that I have with the movie. That isn't even necessarily the movie's fault, but I won't say anything about it right now. But to answer your question, no, it would not have cracked my top five. It perhaps would have maybe been in my top 10. Just as a, just as the movie itself was, it is what it was, and I can't say that I didn't enjoy it. Maybe a top 10, big maybe. I would have to look at all the movies, but definitely not top five. Not a chance.
Well, like I said, I had already seen the movie when we ranked. It did not make my top five, even before we had started discussing things and doing the back and forth on things. It didn't make my top five, but I did push for it to be an honorable mention. So, do you feel comfortable having seen it now with it had been that it was one of our three honorable mentions? Do you feel comfortable with that at least?
Yeah, I think it being an honorable mention is honestly kind of where it, I don't want to say where it deserves to be, because I think that the movie, because obviously I like you said, we don't want to get into it too much because we're gonna have a whole review about it later, but just in terms of how it ranked for us, yeah, I think honorable mentions where it needed to be, because it does deserve to be recognized because there are things about this movie that are, important. But it is not to say that it is not a decent movie. It's just to say that it deserves recognition, but perhaps not as a top five film.
That's all I want to talk about. This is just going to be a brief thing, obviously, because we are going to talk spoiler-free full review later and give, our opinions and takes on it. I'm getting the vibe. Again, you and I have not discussed this at all, but I'm getting the vibe. We both have things to talk about with this movie. I will say, Just keeping with the topic of the segment where we're talking about the internet, social media, etc. Lots of people are just praising the movie, talking about it being the best of 2024, how good it is, etc., etc. Again, I don't argue opinion. That's their opinion. They're entitled to it. But we will go into it later. But I do have differing opinions. And I am very comfortable with putting it in an honorable mention. To be frank, I would have been okay with it not being an honorable mention, even. It's not even that it was that hit or miss with me. But we'll talk about that in a bit more. We will dive into Nosferatu and our opinions on it a little more later in the show. So for right now, then, let's just move on to the next segment.
Stump the co-host.
And this episode, we are going to do our very first Stump the Co-host segment of 2025. Now, this is the segment where Ike and I have identical horror trivia decks, and we randomly pick two cards out of this deck. That is four questions total. We will alternate asking each other these questions, and whoever answers the most right will win this round. Now, a couple things we want to talk about. We have done this both years that we have been out there. 2023 was a partial year, but both years, 2023 and 2024, Ike was the champion. He won both those years. So I'm hoping 2025 is my year. We'll see. We did talk about this with our last Sump the Co-host of 2024. We are establishing a bit of a rule change for you sticklers out there. We will not have any more draws. If the four questions that we ask total ends in a draw, we'll draw each draw another card, and we'll continue to ask questions until there is a winner. Now, whoever gets the first question in the overtime rounds, the other person will get the chance to answer a question to tie them so that it can keep going. It's not like a sudden death type thing. So it could go on for a bit. We tried this in the last week, or excuse me, the last round of 2024. We thought this to be work much better, and it does eliminate the draws. And really, I think it kind of hones in and gives, a more defined winner. So, all right, Ike, are we ready to dive into this? Are you ready to try to defend your repeat championship or Stump the Co-host?
I am ready.
All right. Well, as the two-time and defending champion, you're in the hot seat. You're going first.
Sounds good.
Kevin Bacon stars in what 1990 film about a group of people fighting for survival against a giant worm-like monsters hungry for flesh?
That would be Tremors.
That would be Tremors. Correct. So right out of the gate, Ike has jumped on his defense and put me automatically back on my heels.
Gotta
Great.
be faster than that. All
God.
right, you ready
Here
for
we
your
go.
you ready for your first
Yeah,
question?
it doesn't even matter. Just go ahead.
All right, Wolfman's Got Nards. Name the movie.
That would be the Monster Squad.
That is correct.
Whew, put that one right in my wheelhouse.
That's right.
Good deal. All right, here is your second question. What Rolling Stones ballad is sung by the demon Azrael as he possesses bodies in the Denzel Washington film Fallen?
Okay. All right. Run by me the band again that the song is from.
The Rolling Stones. What Rolling Stones ballad is sung by the demon Azrael as he possesses bodies in the Denzel Washington film Fallen?
All right. I'm gonna be honest. I have not listened to the Rolling Stones in a very long time, and I have never seen this movie. So as part of rationalization, I'm going to say Paint It Black. Is it the song Paint It Black?
It is not. It is the
Okay.
song Time Is On My Side.
Gotcha.
But mad props, that is a Rolling Stones song. So at least you got the band right.
Right. Well, I figured, Paint It Black. I feel like that's not a horrible guess.
Yeah. It is used in lots of movies.
It is.
So,
All
all
right.
right, here we go. I've got a chance.
He has a chance. And his second question is, in the movie 28 Days Later, what was the name of the virus that turned most people into flesh-hungry zombies?
Sweet Jesus. I don't remember. It's been so long since I've watched this movie, and I have yet to rewatch it because of the upcoming 28 years later. I'm saving it. Don't know. Don't remember. Not a clue. Not a clue. What is it?
It is the rage virus.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, that does click now with me now. And I actually think that was even in, might have been even dropped in the one of the recent trailers for the new movie, even.
I think it perhaps was, maybe.
Well, there went my opportunity. So let's see if you give me another. Here is
Well,
your third question.
I would say it's 1-1 now, isn't it?
It is 1-1, correct. What breed of dog is Cujo?
He's a Saint Bernard.
He is a Saint Bernard, correct.
Yes. All right. I was like, he looks like a Saint Bernard. All right. Your third question. What 2005 film starring Jennifer Connelly was based on a book by the author of the Ring trilogy?
Oh boy. This is 2005 is not my wheelhouse. Jennifer Connelly, not my wheelhouse. Based on the same author, a book by the same author of the Ring trilogy, huh? Interesting.
According to this card, that is the case.
Interesting. And you know what? I don't know. What is it?
It is Darkwater.
Don't, what have we, nah. I wouldn't have been able to guess that in a million years.
Me neither.
All right. Well, here you go. You get this one right. You have sealed the win. I can't even tie you to send it into overtime. What Spanish found footage film centers on a reporter and her cameraman trapped in a building whose occupants show animalistic and murderous behavior?
That is REC.
That is correct. God damn. All right, go ahead and ask me my fourth just for the hell of it, even though it just does not matter whatsoever.
Yeah. All right. Your fourth question is, what 1960s Gothic television soap opera depicted the lives of the wealthy Collins family and was remade into a film starring Johnny Depp?
Is it Dark Shadows?
It sure is.
Why can't I get more of those? Why do I got to get 2005 and Jennifer Connelly? Crying out loud. Well,
it is the fate of the cards.
2025 is just starting out to be the same.
Well,
it's taken one round. Taking one round to nurture the pessimist in me already. Way to kill the optimism.
I was going to say, one round in, and he's already like, all right, I'm going to play in traffic.
All right. It's a long year. I'm not out of it yet. Just one. So,
that's
whatever.
True.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, anniversaries, etc., so stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so we have some good stuff for you here. Starting it off strong, we have Demi Moore won an award at the Golden Globes for Best Female Actor in a Motion Picture for a Musical Comedy in her role in The Substance. Now, I did not know that this was either a musical or a comedy, The Substance, so intriguing that it was listed as such. But I've heard good things about The Substance, and I've heard good things about Demi Moore's performance, so definitely something I'll check out.
Well, yeah, I have seen The Substance. It is absolutely spectacular. It is not a musical, so it must lean on the comedy. Yeah, and I don't know. They're flying a little loose with, I guess it's comic. I don't know. I mean, it's not what I would call straight comedy, but I guess it's got some comedic, I guess. I don't know. But it is a extraordinary movie. Now, we did talk about earlier with Nosferatu and whatever else. Now, I didn't see The Substance till after we did that episode and everything else. Now, if I had seen The Substance before, that might have changed some of my list, because The Substance was very, very good, and it might have had a very real shot of cracking my top five. So I really enjoyed it. So I highly advise everybody to go check out The Substance. I think it's just currently on video on demand, I think. I don't think it's streaming yet. So but yeah, but good for Demi Moore, even though I'm sure she's won 50 million awards, and but I'm sure they all matter.
That's right. All right. Moving on now to a new season of Goosebumps is just, pardon me, debuting on January 10th. And R.L. Stine has also announced three new Fear Street movies are in the works. I'm really excited, actually, for this new Goosebumps series. The first season had Justin Long in it. And I believe the next series has the guy from Friends, David Schwimmer in it.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
there you go. Oh yeah.
So,
I did see like a trailer or something for that. Yeah.
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 So that's cool. You know, David Schwimmer, fantastic actor. I haven't really seen him in a whole lot lately, so be very curious to see him in this. And yeah, absolutely. I love Goosebumps. I love the first season quite a bit. And this one's actually from the trailer, if I remember correctly, it's based on one of my favorite Goosebumps novels, which is Don't Go in the Basement. Also one of my favorite episodes from when they did the live action show years ago. It was really, really, really good. So super excited for this. And at the time of recording, it comes out in like 4 days. So very pumped.
Yeah, and I did not watch the first season, so but I am very excited about the Fear Street movies, because I did enjoy those three movies that came out. So I am looking forward to those as well. So yeah, this is a whole lot of exciting R.L. Stine news all in one all in one announcement here.
Yep, absolutely. Love it. He can keep doing it, keep making stuff, and I'll keep watching it.
Sure.
All right. Now we're going to move on to Hard Eyes has been rated R for strong violence and gore. The movie releases in theaters on February 7th and will star Jordana Brewster, Olivia Holt, Devon Sawa, Mason Gooding, and others. The full trailer is expected to release next week. This is exciting. You know, Dave and I were both suckers for holiday-themed horror movies, as you all can tell. And Valentine's Day is no exception. My Bloody Valentine is a extremely good movie. But even the remake's pretty good. So I'm very excited to see Hard Eyes, and hopefully it'll be a killer hit, just like Thanksgiving, and maybe bring us into a new realm of the, what is it, the Hard Eyes Killer, I think is what they called him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to it. Like you said, I'm a sucker for holiday horror. Valentine's Day is one that's, underrepresented, and this is a it's a very good cast. So it should be fun. I like the R rating. It means that they won't skimp away from things. So yeah, bring it on. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
He said, "Bring it on! Hit me with everything you got."
Right.
But,
Give me
all
that
right,
hard eyes.
that's right. Good stuff. So, moving on to some upcoming birthdays. A friend of the show's, January 12th, 1965, Rob Zombie. Oh Lord! Of course, he's known for his roles and or roles in making the House of Thousand Corpses, Halloween remake, and more. Obviously, we have nothing against Rob Zombie. We're just not a huge fan of his movies, and you know, that's all a matter of preference. He's got a huge fan base out there. I'm sure that they're not missing two fat guys on the internet. You know what I mean? So, but you know, nonetheless, happy birthday to him.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of have a love-hate relationship with Rob Zombie. More of his movies than not, we don't really care for. But I'm a fan of his music. I like him as a musician.
Yeah.
But I can't appreciate his passion for horror. Whether even though our visions don't necessarily match up, that's okay. He is a he's a prominent figure. and he is out there, you know, supporting and spreading the word of horror. So you got to at least respect that. So,
amen. All right. Moving on to our other birthday this week. It is January 13th in 1966. Patrick Dempsey, of course, known for his roles in Scream 3, Thanksgiving, and Scream 7 coming up. Of course, he is McDreamy in the Grey's Anatomy series. So all you Grey's Anatomy fans out there, not sure the whole cross-section between Grey's Anatomy and horror. But if there is one, I'd be very interested to know. So,
if there is one, it is you, right?
Yeah, I do like Grey's Anatomy. I can't lie. It's a good show. It's
And I haven't watched Grey's Anatomy in so long.
Honestly, I need to rewatch it because they have all these new seasons and stuff, and they have like spin-off TV shows. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work.
You're right. It is a lot of seasons. It's like 12 or 13 seasons or something crazy like that. So
very intimidating.
Very, very intimidating. But nonetheless, happy birthday, Nick Dreamy.
That's right. Obviously, I thought his, you know, part in Scream 3 was good. I'm glad he's coming back for Scream 7. And, you know, we've sang the praises of Thanksgiving and his role in that. So, yeah, he's got his little place carved out in horror, as long as, you know, along with, you know, a multitude of other things. I mean, we haven't even spoke of all the stuff he was in the 80s and everything. So, yeah, he's had quite the career and obviously a decent little cross-section of horror there.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very well-versed actor. But all right, moving on now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have January 13th, 1989, Pumpkinhead, a monster movie classic, in my opinion. It is, I would say, a new age monster movie, not like the Universal monster movies or anything like that, but definitely something we haven't seen in a good while. Pumpkinhead's a very unique looking creature, and he spawned some pretty great movies, you know, and like any other horror film franchise, he also spawned some not so great horror film movies. But yeah, so, you know, happy birthday to Pumpkinhead. That's quite the accomplishment, being, you know, going on how old now? That's 11 plus 25, which is 36 years old.
Yeah, and again, I like the first one a lot. And who was it? I don't remember. Who did we interview that Pumpkinhead was like one of their favorite movies? I can't remember.
That was...
Was it Matt from Creeping Death?
It was.
Yeah.
Because he only watched half of the movie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I remember that now. But some reason now, ever since interviewing him, every time I think of Pumpkinhead, I think of him. But yeah, I like Pumpkinhead. I like the first one. I'm not too hip on the majority of the sequels and stuff, but I do very much like the first one, though.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Well, nonetheless, we're going to move on to January 14th, and we're going to jump back to 1981 for Scanners. So I've actually never seen Scanners. I have seen the scene where the guy's head explodes. But in such a weird way, because that's how pop culture works, I saw Scanners, the scene where the head explodes. And for any geeks out there who like anime or watch the abridged versions on YouTube, for those of you who are not privy, abridged just means basically it's basically a spoof of the anime, but they use the original animation and they dub over like different lines, basically. Kind of like the Mystery Science Theater 3000. But basically, there is a spoof of the attack, or not, sorry, it's not Attack of Titans, Sword Art Online, and they reference Scanners a lot. So that's how I've actually seen that scene. So it's sort of a weird, like, pop culture reference within, like, a very niche community. I have seen that. So I just wonder if anybody else knows what I'm talking about. I know Dave doesn't. He's probably sitting over there like, you know, what the fuck is I talking about right now?
Yeah, I don't know anything about all that. But Scanners is... got a lot of pop culture references and everything else out there. You know, it was actually referred to in an episode of Supernatural, even, where a guy's head exploded and it was in a gas station. And the guy says that he went all Scanners, and of course Cass asks, was it Scanners 1, 2, or 3? And but yeah, but the, you know, I like Scanners. The other ones, I haven't seen them as much, but yeah, I like the first one. But yeah, there's a, who doesn't love a movie with heads exploding?
True, true. That's like a prerequisite for me to watch a movie. Does
Sure,
someone
yeah.
head explode in this movie? If yes, I'll watch it. If no, I'll consider it. I am joking. That is not a prerequisite for my movie watching experience. I am not a crazy person. Well, maybe my psychiatrist would disagree with that, but we don't talk about them. No, I'm kidding. moving on. Happy birthday, Scanners. But on January 14th, a mere 30 some years later, we have Scream 5, which is just called Scream. It's the reboot with the Carpenter sisters, or requel, as they call it. Very good movie. Gotta say, love this movie. Very interesting twist in this one. And hopefully, we'll see some more of the Carpenter sisters at some point. I really hope that they're not completely written off, but I guess we shall see.
Yeah, I'm not feeling optimistic. I don't know if they'll actually be written off as much as just probably not, maybe not even mentioned. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Scream 6, but yeah, the Scream, just Scream, or what most people refer to as Scream 5, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. And it was a very exciting time. I remember, the hoopla with it coming out and going to see it. It was very exciting.
It
So,
was.
yeah, but yeah, it's not bad. It's a fairly solid movie.
I agree. It's a pretty good one. Obviously, does not hold up to the like original in that way, but it's still a very interesting generational take on it. So, all right. Nonetheless, we're going to move on now to upcoming releases. We got two for you. We got one called Getaway. It is releasing on Shudder on January 10th, and it is described as a family's vacation to a remote getaway. It takes an unexpected turn when they discover the island is inhabited by a serial killer. Sounds like fun to me. You get stuck on a remote island and a serial killer is there. That just sounds like a recipe for fun, or for long-lasting generational trauma.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm here for it.
As you do, you go to an island for a vacation, get caught with a serial killer. It happens. But yeah,
Happens to
this
me all
is,
the time.
yeah, we've all been there. But yeah, this movie, I think it was, well, it's got Nick Frost in it, but I think he even had a hand in writing it, I want to say. I'm not
Huh.
100%, but I know he's in it. So that I like that aspect, although, I was excited for Black Cab because he was in it, and that kind of let me down. But
Right.
hopefully this one will be better. But
Yeah.
I'll give it a watch. We'll see.
Me too. I definitely give it a watch. I'll watch anything on Shudder. And fun fact, well, speaking of Shudder, and then also speaking of Screambox here in a second, we got a new TV. My old TV did not have a Screambox app on it, but my new TV does. So I'm very excited about that.
Upgrade.
Yeah. But the other upcoming release, speaking of Screambox, is Lizzie Lazarus coming to Screambox on January 14th. It is described as Summer Solstice, 1990. Two strangers carry a corpse through the woods looking for a mythical zone they believe will bring the dead back to life. Dot, dot, dot. But what secrets will come back with it? Question mark. We will be reviewing this movie on our next episode. I was dramatic because this was very well punctuated, so I just felt like it deserved the proper reading of it, if you will.
Yeah, needed some background music there.
Right?
But I'm actually looking forward to this. A lot of people have likened it to kind of a human version of Pet Sematary.
Huh.
And I love Pet Sematary. And it sounds intriguing enough, interesting enough, and I'll definitely give it a shot. Well, actually, we will give it a shot, and we will let everybody know what we think of it next episode. But I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I also just like the name Lizzie Lazarus. I feel like that's just like a
Yeah,
fun name.
it's pretty cool.
I feel like if you had that name in real life, that'd be cool.
Sounds like a Marvel character.
It does, honestly. Friggin' Stan Lee over here.
Yeah,
The
it's an
LLs
iteration.
and Peter Parker. I was about to say Tony Stark, but that doesn't make any sense.
Or J. Jonah Jameson.
Right?
He's got so many.
We could literally sit here all day and talk about it, but we won't because this is not a Marvel podcast. Although it could be.
Could be. Yeah.
Could be. But all right, we're going to move on now, guys. that is all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So you know what that means now, guys. Make sure you go online and follow us on social media. Log into the Google machine and give us a follow and like, if you haven't yet, of course. And if you have, then stick around for our upcoming review of Nosferatu. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, we're back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Nosferatu, a spoiler-free review. Movie is still in theaters, so many of you may not have seen it yet, but although with the way it's performing, I would guess many of you have.
Yeah.
The movie was written and directed by Robert Eggers, and of course is based on the novel Dracula by Bram Stoker, based on a chapter in particular in the book. Starring Lil Rose Depp, Nicholas Holt, Bill Skarsgård, and others, released December 25th in theaters, and it grossed $21,652,560 domestically on its opening weekend, which was good for number three. I'm pretty sure I saw a thing where I think it's now crossed $100 million worldwide. It is doing exceptionally, exceptionally well. And I know this was a huge release for the year, big hyped up release, but I don't feel like this is going to be a very long review, because here's the deal. I'm so bipolar about this movie, because on the one hand, the movie was absolutely gorgeously shot. It was beautiful. The sets, the costumes, the acting. Of course, we know the material somewhat, you know, and you know, more some people more than others, whatever. And so you know, there's all that. And overall, was it a good movie? Yeah, overall, it was a good movie. But I try. There's been all this hype and all these people talking about how great. And I have to really wonder: Do all these people truly? Truly believe that, or do they just feel like it's the hip thing to say? Because here's the deal. Was it a good movie? Yeah, I enjoyed the movie, but it was a little slow. It was a little long. It didn't have a lot of action, and the Nosferatu reveal was disappointing to me. I wasn't blown away by his look. It was okay, but it wasn't what I wanted. I'm sorry. The original Nosferatu, I just don't think they've ever improved on it, that design. Yeah. And I don't know that they should have tweaked it much. And, you know, again, the movie, it was a good movie. Don't get me wrong. But it just did not ever grip me. And it just kind of felt like it was dragging. And, I thought this would be a movie that I would absolutely just flip head over heels for. And it just didn't happen at all. You know, we talked earlier, I pushed for it to have an honorable mention based mostly on the fact that, again, it was a beautiful movie. It was well acted, well produced, well shot. The sets, the costumes, the everything was just gorgeous. It's a beautiful movie to watch. Don't get me wrong. So I felt like it was monumental enough and it was decent enough that, we should give it an honorable mention. But, you know, there's no way I never gave it a thought to put it in my top five. It just didn't, you know, the movie, like I said, it was okay, but I didn't overly enjoy it like I anticipated I would. I know I've been one of these people. I always preach about, you know what, 90 minutes on movies. I do comprehend that that's not a hard rule. You don't have to stick to that. Longer movies can work. I like some longer movies or whatever else. But some movies, and I'm not saying this movie had to be cut to 90 minutes per se, but it just felt like it drug so much. And again, I see all this positive review, and I hope these people truly did enjoy it. But I really have to be kind of skeptical about some of these people on whether they're just kind of going with the flow or whether they're truly being honest about what they feel about it. Because I just feel like I can't be the only one who just felt like it was kind of a eh, it just wasn't what I thought I was getting. And that it kind of at parts even kind of bored me. And I'm sorry, I wanted to love the movie so much. I really did. And I was anticipating this movie so much. And it let me down. Not saying it's a bad movie, but it didn't live up to the hype for me. And it didn't live up to the hype that it's getting still. I'm glad that it's succeeding. I'm glad that it's doing really well. And that, we can see more, again, that's good for horror. And I typically like these old movies that are, and I like when they're brought up, and I think that they're going to get a pretty good rendition of it. That's not just an adaptation, but you know what I mean? It's not just the spirit that they're going to be pretty true to it. And I'm typically a fan of that stuff, but I just feel like he went a little too far with this of trying to put too much in it. I mean, the original Nosferatu is whatever. It's not whatever it is. I don't even know what it is. 20 minutes. I don't know if it's not that long.
It's like an hour and 20 minutes, I think.
Oh, is it that
Maybe
long? Okay. But
a little bit shorter than that.
yeah, but it I don't know, and it works. And I don't know. Maybe I hyped it too much in my head. Maybe that's why it's kind of feels a little disappointing to me, but it just felt so slow to me. It just didn't have enough excitement. And I don't, maybe it's just me being an old fart. But typically, this is the kind of movie an old fart might like, but didn't work for me. So, Ike, what did you think of it?
Well, I guess my first thing before I get into my review, I've never read Bram Stoker's Dracula, or if I have, it's been a very long time. Was the Amber Alert mustache like always a thing that he had?
I don't recall. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So first, I don't know. Again, I'm not sure. I can't say on that. But
Okay. All
it was weird to me.
It
And
was.
it does seem to be taking some people aback, so I don't know.
I was just curious. I was just it was something that came to my mind, and I just figured it required some form of,
It
explanation,
was odd. I
maybe.
don't know how to explain it. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I can't answer to it. I don't know the thinking. Maybe it is. Maybe it is truly an adaptation. If it was just a creative choice, it's a bold one.
It is.
And I have to
It's a
say,
choice.
I don't think it worked.
No.
But again, that's part of the reason it just the reveal and right, just seeing him was kind of it was just kind of a letdown. I don't know. I
There
think
was.
again, I think the original Nosferatu portrayal of him is much creepier. But I don't know. What do I know?
I do kind of agree. I don't hate the portrayal of him in this, but I'm not exactly like loving it. I do think that the Count Orlok that we see like in the 20s has sort of a weird like eeriness to him, like an
Yeah.
uncanny valley eeriness. Like you look at him, you're like, there's something not right here. This just kind of looks like a really old, decrepit, like weird looking dude that has a weird mustache and everything else. And I like you said, without getting too much into it, because we don't want to spoil the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it. And I'm not saying anybody shouldn't see it, but I do want to make sure people know that, like, one of the things that we sort of, we bolster ourselves on is giving real and authentic reviews of things. And sometimes the real thoughts and opinions do kind of go against the grain, and I do kind of think that, like, it's become sort of like this weird like popularity contest where people just say that they like it because they think it's artistic, right? Like it's the same way I think about like some of these really fancy restaurants that give you like really small ass portions of food that's just like all right, but because they're plated up pretty, people are like, oh, this is the best food ever. But like I would much rather go to like the local mom and pop shop and just like stuff myself full of whatever delicious food they have there. But you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking, is that this is like the, you know, the amuse-bouche of movies, as it pertains to culinary delight. But to sort of elaborate on that, for me, it was just like, I mean, I'm very open to all kinds of horror. I am not huge, I will be honest, I am not huge on gothic horror specifically, but I love vampire movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely enjoy them. And so, like, and I like the original Nosferatu. I like the other Dracula movies. I enjoyed, I actually really enjoyed the Last Voyage of the Demeter, which was eerie. But just there was something about this movie that just rubbed me a little bit wrong. And it's not that I didn't like it or I didn't enjoy it to some degree, because I did, right? I did like the movie and I enjoyed it enough to like come out of that movie feeling mostly satisfied with my experience. It's just that I just felt like there was something amiss with the whole interpretation that I just can't quite put my finger on. And like you said, the reveal of Orlok was quite disappointing. I felt like he was not nearly as terrifying as I kind of hyped him up to be in my head. You know, and that's not to say that Skarsgård didn't do a fantastic job, because he did. He did a fantastic job portraying this character as he was meant to be portrayed, as per the instructions of the director, I would assume. And you know, Lily Rose Depp, she did a fantastic job as well. You know, they did a fantastic job portraying that character. Same thing with everyone in this movie. I mean, there's not a single person in this movie that I would say did a poor job. It's just that the adaptation seemed weird. And it just, like you said, it wouldn't have broken my top five. It maybe would have broken my top 10, maybe. But there are a lot of people out there who are like, this is the best horror movie of 2024. And I just disagree. I can name a bunch of movies that I think were much better, much more enjoyable, maybe not as high budget, maybe not as artful, but more enjoyable nonetheless. And that's the thing too, is that just because this movie is artistic, just because this movie is beautifully made, I like, no doubt in my mind, is this movie hands down one of the most beautiful movies made this year in terms of sheer filmography. I mean, literally, it is so gorgeous. The surroundings, the backgrounds, the cameras, everything is beautiful. But that can only make up so much of poor content. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I shake a little bit, is that, yeah, filmography is great. Yeah, the acting was decent, but there is just something amiss. The presentation of Orlok was not what I expected. The content itself just seemed a little amiss based on sort of prior source material. And that's perhaps, I think, maybe the fatal flaw here, is that there is so much source material that it is almost difficult to discern each instance of this character from the other. So I think that there's so many good presentations of this character that it's perhaps difficult to say otherwise, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I get the movie and all the hoopla and everything. I get it. It's an event now, right? Everybody's talking about it and going to see it's an event and you know, whatever. I get that. And that's fine. I enjoy that. I like that. I'm glad that people are appreciating that side of it. But it's just not, I don't know. You know, and I can accept that side, but it's, I don't know. I'm sticking to my guns, and it's just,
yeah.
It didn't, I don't know. I was let down. And, you know, and I again question, like you said, like I said, like we've talked about here, that how many of these people that are talking about this are just, do they just feel like it's what they should, they think they should say, that they're just getting caught up in the event and caught up in the artsy side of it, and just saying that, oh, it's great, it's this, it's that, you know, how many of them, you know, really, if they were just sitting down sincerely, would say, yeah, I love this film? How many of them will buy it digitally? How many of them will buy it physically? How many of them will rewatch it when it comes out streaming? I would, you know, I don't know. I just, do I think it'll do good streaming? Yeah, because there's still probably a large chunk of people that haven't seen it. There is, obviously a group of people that want to rewatch it. I don't doubt that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, me personally, I don't really have an urge to rewatch it again.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I really, it's like I almost have a guilt because it's like I felt like I wanted to really love it. I really had it hyped up. And there's almost like this little part of me, it's like, should I love it? Am I missing? It's like, but no, it's, I just, it is what it is. We've talked about it, all the time. It's a taste thing. And I just truly hope that all the people that say they love it, I hope they truly do love it. And they're not just saying it. But whatever the case may be, whatever, the movie's got their money. And it succeeded, and that's all well and good. So,
That's that's what I was going to say too, is that, I mean, the movie was incredibly successful. So obviously nobody's losing work out of this. You know what I mean? We still, you and I wouldn't spend our money on it. And, it's, I don't know. And I don't want, I also wanted to maybe be clear that, like, I think that this movie is going to be an important movie for a lot of people. I think that this will be a genre-defying movie for some groups of people. I think that this is going to be something that some people really love and they really appreciate. And our opinions are not to deprecate on that. It is just to say, hey, this was not quite the product that we were expecting. Albeit, not horrible, it just wasn't what we were expecting. Because I can already tell. Not that we had this huge grandiose audience, but I do think that as a responsible consumer of media, I do think that this will be something that is very important to some people, and our opinions are not to diminish that. It is just to say that for us, hey, this wasn't it for us. And just like for Dave and I, our number one movie of 2024 was Terrifier 3. That movie is not for everybody. That movie is easily one of the most like violent, disturbing movies you could ever watch. Like, that's obviously not going to be for everybody, and we know that. And we know that to some people, us putting Terrifier 3 over Nosferatu is paramount to sacrilege, and that very well may be the case. But hey, that's the beauty of this, right? That art is, defined and seen in so many different ways. But I will say one other thing, and I mentioned Terrifier 3. Terrifier 3 got so much shit for off-screen implying the death of a children, but in Nosferatu, he very clearly and openly kills two children, and you see both of their lifeless corpses. And I have not seen a single person complain about that depiction. But when Art the Clown does it, everybody gets their panties in a twist. What the fuck is up with that?
I don't know. I don't know, but again, I don't know. I'm not trying to diminish the film and everything else, but I just feel like it's just trendy right
It
now.
is.
And I don't know. It doesn't have that blockbuster feel that it should to me. And but that's, again, that's my opinion. And if people truly love it, that's great. I'm glad. And and I can respect that. I can, and I honestly, I could honestly probably even see why that, certain people would like it. It's just not the style of movie, and it didn't grip me the way I feel like a movie should. But I want to be, I want a film to be enjoyable or to make me feel something, one or the other, or both. And this just didn't do either. I didn't have fun watching it, and it didn't really make me feel anything. So, I just don't feel like it really struck a nerve with me in any way.
Right.
But it tis what it tis. But again, I'm not trashing the movie. I'm not trashing it. I'm not saying it's a bad movie even. I'm just saying it's not what I believe everybody says it is. It's not what I anticipated it would be. So as we transition on to rating it, it might blow some people's minds. I'm not gonna go super low, but to me, I'm rating Nosferatu just a 3 out of 5. It's just in middle of the ground. It was okay. I didn't hate it coming out of it. It was all right. But it's not one of those movies that I'm going to go fighting to rewatch, or that I would think about going to rewatch in theaters, or I will want to rewatch when it comes to. I just don't, but it was enjoyable enough that I'm okay with it. It's just not really in my lane. So, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5, Ike, on the rating scale. What are you giving it?
I'm right there with you. I was thinking to myself, where would I rate this? And I think after much, introspection and thought on this, it's a 3 out of 5. It's one of those things where you watch the movie and you're like, hey, this wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen. I didn't hate the movie. There were some things I enjoyed about it, and there were some things I even loved about it. I think, quite frankly, I think that all the actors did superb jobs in the roles they were given. It was just there was something lacking from the movie. And for me, and I'm not like some super artsy fartsy like director or movie reviewer. I'm just some dude who watches movies, and I can't quite pinpoint what the movie was missing, but it was missing something. But nonetheless, 3 out of 5, I feel like, is a, like you said, a middle of the ground review of the movie. I like you said, I'm not going to fight to rewatch it. If it came to streaming maybe one day and I had some extra time and I wanted to kind of, refresh my memory about it, I would watch it again. Not to say I wouldn't. It's just not something like you said. I would go out of my way to say, yep, let's go rewatch this,
I agree. So, all right. And like we mentioned earlier, then next episode, we will be reviewing Lizzie Lazarus, which is coming to Screambox January 14th. So, everybody, make sure you check that out when it hits that service. We'd like to give a thank you to our wives and then all of you listeners and all of the followers on social media for all of your support, encouragement, etc., as we journey through this wacky world of horror movies. Like I mentioned earlier, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're pretty much on any platform out there. All you gotta do is look for Listen to Their Screams or just look up Listen to Screams. That's Listen, the number two in Screams. That's our handle on every social media. So go and find us there. So, Ike, before we close out this gothic vampire-y sort of based episode, anything you want to throw in?
Honestly, just I know that we are rolling off of New Year's and the holiday season, so I hope that everyone is safe and everyone had a good New Year's and everyone still has all their fingers and toes. And hopefully everyone is gearing up for a hopefully a good 2025. There's a lot of really, 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 really great movies, etc., coming up. So I think that there's lots of fun stuff to explore in the coming time. So, but yeah, I think that's it. I just everyone hope everyone's doing good. As I always like to say, I hope you're doing good.
Yeah, especially right now with all the snow that's hitting certain parts of the country, and everything. And I know back home again in Indiana, they're getting hit. So hopefully everybody's staying warm. I believe there's people without power and different things. That sucks. But I don't know. It's like whatever in the 40s here and whatever else, and I feel like I'm freezing. So I really feel for everybody else. But you know what? It's if you don't like it, just move someplace warmer, I guess. But I know it's not that easy. No, it's I understand. But anyway, be safe. Don't do anything stupid. And if you have to go out for work or whatever reason, just give yourself extra time and be careful on the roads. I spent a lot of years in those snow and driving in that shit, and you just gotta be careful. So, but everybody be good. And like we said, next episode we're watching Lizzie Lazarus. So join us when that episode comes out. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.